Welcome to the Wealth Studying Podcast. This is episode 85. It's February 11th, 2015. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. Here at the Wealth Studying Podcast, I try and teach you from what I call the 10 wealth building principles. Now, these aren't things that I read in a book or I learned at college. These are principles that I've developed over the last nearly 30 years, and it's these simple principles that I attribute to my financial success today. Now, if you're new to the podcast and you're not familiar with these 10 wealth building principles, go back and listen to the first 10 episodes of this podcast. That's where I build a foundation and I lay out my financial philosophy. And then each subsequent episode of the Wealth Studying Podcast is done through the prism of one or more of those 10 wealth building principles. I apply them to current events or the status of the stock market, or I use them to answer listener questions or perhaps another special topic that's on my mind. But the intent of every show is always to help you build not only your net worth, but more importantly, your personal freedom. I like to say that money may not buy happiness, but it can buy freedom. In today's episode, I want to address the various listener questions that I've received about people that have planned poorly for retirement. I'm always talking about saving 20% and, you know, being successful in your investments. But the reality is that's not where most Americans are. Most Americans are severely lacking from that ideal. And so people, obviously primarily that are older, have come to me and said, well, you know, what do you do if you haven't saved 20%? What if you do if you lost half your money in 2008 and you haven't made that up yet? You know, there's no silver bullet. I'm a money manager, but I'm not a miracle worker. And so in today's episode, I'm not going to give you get-rich-quick solutions, nor am I going to tell you how to be an extreme coupon clipper and stretch your budget that way in retirement. I'm just going to talk to you about the realization of poor retirement planning. Hopefully this will be a wake-up call to those of you that are young enough to do something about it. And for those of you that are older and you're realizing that you're inadequately prepared for your retirement, well, hopefully you're not at a point where it's too late and you'll be able to at least start making some lifestyle changes now to prepare for the inevitable. Before we get started, I only want to make one brief comment about the current market conditions. Yesterday, that was Tuesday, February 10th, we saw the NASDAQ perform pretty well. It did so in higher volume. That would constitute what we call a follow-through day. Right now, all the major indexes appear to have bounced off their 50-day moving average, which they were approaching, you know, three or four sessions ago. So that's put the market back into an uptrend. Now, as I'm recording this show, this is late morning on Wednesday the 11th. The markets are pretty much flat. We're not seeing a really strong momentum push like we often do after a follow-through day. That's a little bit concerning, but if you've been following along to this podcast, you know that I've been saying that we expect 2015 to be a very turbulent year. These past 10 weeks or so, really since about mid-December, have been extremely volatile, much more volatile than 2014 and certainly a lot more volatile than 2013. So that's a change in the personality of the stock market. I don't think we're going to see 2015 as a year where the market just goes straight up. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go straight down either. As I say, these last 10 weeks has been very volatile. It's kind of trading in a range, with the S&P kind of just bouncing somewhere between, oh, say 1980 and maybe up to 2080. So just bouncing around in that range. Doesn't go up a whole lot. It doesn't go down a whole lot, but it certainly can be nerve-wracking, and it can be an indication that a pullback or a correction is going to come. We just don't know. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. These are times to be cautious, not to be overextended. And like always, you have to be vigilant. You have to be prepared to sell your losing positions, go to cash, and wait for the market to stabilize. Now, I can't give you specific financial advice on this podcast. I'm not offering any recommendations. I'm just talking to myself here, giving you a perspective of how I'm managing my own money and my client money. My comments here just for educational purposes only. I just always advise you, be cautious, especially this year. It looks like it's going to be turbulent. Now on to the main topic. Let's talk about the realization of poor or inadequate retirement planning. Well, what is good retirement planning? Let's start off with that. If you see an older couple and they're living an enjoyable lifestyle, they're doing the things that they want to do, then they're obviously successful in their old age. They're having a successful retirement. Oh, I want to start off first by saying that when I talk about retirement, that doesn't necessarily mean that you quit your job or you quit working. You know, a lot of people will ask me, well, John, when do you plan to retire? I guess that means I'm getting old. I don't know. I don't feel that old. I'm just in my early 50s. But I will get that question. John, when do you plan to retire? And the fact of the matter is, as long as my health holds out, I never plan to retire. But you see, I'm not going to work because I have to. I'm going to work because I enjoy doing what I'm doing. I spent decades of my life putting myself in the position I'm in now so I can do what I want to do. So for me, it's not work. In fact, I guess you could make the argument that I retired a couple years ago. Again, it's because I get up every day and I do what I want. What I want happens to be working and making money, but it's a choice. And I'm going to keep doing this as long as I have the mental capacity and the physical stamina to do it. And I encourage you to do the same. So when I talk about retirement, I'm really talking about a term that's, kind of politically incorrect to use. We don't talk about it anymore, but it's old age. People used to talk about old age. Now they just talk about retirement. So let's look at people that are successful in retirement or successful in their old age, right, in their declining years. This is either the couple or the widower that you see that's living an enjoyable life. They're doing things that they want to do. And because it's an individual basis, what they want to do, it's different for everybody. Some people may want to live close to their grandchildren. Some people may want to live in a warmer climate. Some people may want to live on a golf course. I know people that live on small little airports or little airfields. They're private pilots and their house is attached to the airfield so they can just fly their plane and then land it and, park it in their driveway. I mean, that's the beauty about this country and about the free market. If you accumulate enough wealth, and I'm talking about a middle-class existence, I'm not talking about Warren Buffett here, and that's why I say money may not buy happiness, but it can buy freedom. It's up to you to accumulate that wealth and then to put it to a good purpose. So your freedom, your liberty, that good purpose, it's going to be different for you than it is for somebody else. Maybe you'll want to live on the golf course. Maybe you'll want to live in a cabin in the woods. Maybe you want to live on a beach. Maybe you want to live next to your grandchildren. Maybe you want to buy an RV and just every 3 weeks move to a different place. And again, in talking about retirement, maybe you want to work all your life as long as you're healthy to do that. Maybe you want to retire at 58 or 62 or whatever. The important thing is it's what you want to do. And so when you see people that are living that successful retirement, that successful lifestyle in old age, through my observations, I've determined that those people do it through one of two methods. The first method is they have a very good pension and they've saved at least 10% during their earning years. These are the people, again, that are living on the golf courses or they've moved down to Florida or Arizona or whatever, or they bought a big house and it's near all their grandkids and their kids come over and play every day or once a week or whatever. Now, these people are able to fund this lifestyle. It's not a lavish lifestyle. It's just a nice, solid, good, upper middle class lifestyle. And they're able to enjoy this, again, because they have that good pension. Maybe they worked at a corporation that paid a really good pension. And this could be white collar workers or blue collar workers. Either way, some people have really good, solid pensions. Oftentimes, government workers have very nice pensions. If you spent 25 years or so in the military and you retire as, a colonel or something, you can have a very nice income. So that's method one. Have a nice pension, and then you supplement that pension with your Social Security benefits and with that nest egg that you've saved by accumulating about 10% of savings over your working life. Those people are doing very well. Now, the other group of people that are doing well, these are the people that don't have pensions. And that's, the method that I'm using, and this is the only other alternative that I know of if you don't have a good pension, and that's that you have to save at least 20% during your working years, and you also have had to be a successful investor. Now, that doesn't mean that you personally had to do it. Maybe you had to hire somebody to do it for you, but you had to get good investment returns on that 20% that you put away. If you just have a beautifully gold-plated, very strong, high-paying pension from your government job or from, again, a large corporation that you worked for, then you can afford to be sloppy. Yeah, you don't always necessarily maybe have to put away 10%. You didn't have to make the best investment choices because you got that strong income stream coming in from the pension. But if you're lacking that, there's no room for error. You've got to put away 20%. And that isn't a number that I just pull out of the air. That's what I've observed not only in my own life, but also in studying middle-class millionaires, people that are my clients, people that I associate with. I'm telling you, the people that are having a good lifestyle in their old age, they've probably put away at least 20% or more, and they've made good, wise investment choices. Now, when I say 20%, that isn't a hard and fast number. Again, it all comes down to how much you make and how much you spend. But that's a good rule of thumb. Maybe for you, it's 18% or 15%, or perhaps it could be as high as 25 or more. It also depends on when you start putting it away. If you're putting it away when you're in your late 20s, if you've been a disciplined saver since you were a young person, and that's the way I was, then you're going to be way ahead of the game. If you're not starting to save until you're 49 or 50, then hey, you need to buck up and you need to put away a lot more than 20%. You really need to cut back on your consumption to build that nest egg. Now here's the bottom line, and this is the reality of poor retirement planning. If you don't do these things, if you don't have a good pension, or a very strong, substantial nest egg to last you through your sunset years, then you know what? You're going to have to make some major lifestyle changes. You're going to have to really reduce your consumption. Now, you can choose to do that now when you're in your 40s and 50s to prepare for that, or you can wait until you're 69. But the bottom line, the realization is, I mean, this is just the facts. You can't go on spending more than you earn. Now, you can get away with living a lavish lifestyle and living beyond your means when you're younger and when you're earning an income, because you can always get another credit card and you can always refinance your home and all those kind of things. But that eventually catches up with you. That bill eventually comes due. And if you wait for it to come due until you're old, until you're infirmed, then that's going to be really painful, because that's a time in your life when your earning capacity is limited and your health is in decline. So if you've postponed saving and living a disciplined life, and you're in your 60s and you're looking at retirement, you're saying, hey, this just doesn't look pleasant. Well, it's not going to be. You can forget about retiring. See, you're going to be working probably until you're at least 70 years old. And if you think I'm kidding, go down to Walmart or Home Depot and look at all the older gentlemen that are working in there. You think that greeter at Walmart is working there because he's bored and he just wants to get out of the house? Well, yeah, maybe 1 in 100 guys are like that. But most of them, you know why they're working at Walmart? Because they're just trying to pay the electric bill. If you see an older gentleman and he's working there, or an older lady, it's not because they want to be there. They're trying to make ends meet. And for whatever reason, they didn't prepare adequately for retirement. You know, maybe they had medical bills. Maybe they got unlucky with their investments. Maybe they lost a job. I mean, there's a million reasons why. And I'm not condemning them. I mean, I'm happy that they're working. My own mother worked until she was in her 70s. I think that's a responsible thing to do. And again, as I mentioned, I hope I'm working well into my 70s. I want to be working in my 90s. But it's because I want to be. The other thing that's going to happen to you in old age is you're going to be downsizing. You know that big McMansion house you live in now? You're not going to be able to afford it. If you haven't paid it off by the time you're retired, if you still have a lot of credit card debts, if you haven't saved where you have a substantial income that you're going to be able to derive from your investments and your dividends, you know, if all you're relying on is Social Security, well, it's not going to meet that mortgage payment. So you're going to have to sell that house. You're going to have to move to a lower cost area. And a lower cost area usually means moving to a more rural area or moving to maybe a less safe area in an urban setting. But it's not going to be a choice. It's going to be a necessity. In fact, people that have really planned poorly, not only do they have to downsize or move to another area, but they have to change their lifestyle where they live in a home sharing type environment. You know, they move in with friends or they move in with family. Or if they own a home, they have to take in boarders, people that rent a room from them. I mean, this is just the hard reality. When you get into your late 60s or your 70s or beyond, if all you're living off of is Social Security, you're not going to be able to make a mortgage payment. You're not going to be able to pay the same kind of rent that you could have when you were working. You're going to have to drastically cut back on your consumption. If you like to go to restaurants or you like to take a lot of vacations or you spend a lot on your hobbies, well, all that's going to come to an end if you haven't adequately prepared for it, because Social Security just doesn't go far enough. Right now, the average Social Security payment is somewhere around, I think, $15,000 a year. Now, for many of you listening to this podcast, by the time you retire with what you've paid into it and with inflation and things, it'll be higher than that. But imagine if all you had to live off of was $15,000 a year. I mean, just to have a minimal middle-class lifestyle, you got to be making at least, you know, $50,000 or more. The average household income is right around $50,000. But the reality of that is that most families are two-income families. You know, one of the spouses is making somewhere in the mid-50s, and then the other spouse is making somewhere maybe around 40, so they have a combined income of close to $100,000. So that's what you got to think about. Right now, today, in 2015, to have a middle-class lifestyle, you got to be making somewhere between, say, $50,000 and $100,000. Now, taxes come out of that, and all the expenses related to working, you know, the commuting, paying for your gas, paying for parking if you work in a city, you know, the extra clothes and expense of having to have a job. So that's why you can afford to earn less in retirement. But again, if you want to have that kind of lifestyle where you see those couples now that they're happy, they're doing what they want to do, they're living in a warm climate, or they're spending a lot of time with their grandchildren, they're doing that because they have an income that's at least somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $100,000. So if you're ready for retirement right now, and all you're looking at is your Social Security, and it's only, you know, maybe $20,000 or $25,000 or maybe even less, I mean, now you're facing the hard, cold facts. You're facing reality. You live beyond your means for too many years, and now you're going to go into old age, and you know what? No one's going to care. There's not going to be anybody there to help you. Now, there are some government programs, and that's really what happens to people that are inadequately prepared for retirement. Social Security isn't enough, and they have to rely on other government programs. Housing assistance, medical assistance, long-term care, you know, food assistance, all those kind of things that are provided by government agencies. I mean, it's a good thing that they're there to help people, but I personally, you know, I don't want to rely on that. If I can do anything in my means right now, I'm going to try and do that because I want a better lifestyle. But again, if you haven't prepared, if you're in your late 60s right now and all you have to look forward to is Social Security, I'm sorry, but these are the cold, hard facts. So what's it take? What's it take to have a decent retirement? Let's say that you still have time. Let's say that you're maybe 50 or 60. Well, I can't give you an exact number. And you don't necessarily have to go to some financial planner to have them work this out for you. You're smart enough to figure it out on your own. Get out a pencil and a calculator and some scratch paper. Start writing things down. Figure out what you're making now. Determine what your cost of living is today. And again, if you're in the middle class, you're going to be spending somewhere between, say, $50,000 and $100,000 on your lifestyle. Just generally, that's a rule of thumb. Some people maybe less, some people maybe a lot more. But if you're living in middle America, that's generally where it's going to be. Now, I'm not talking about how much you make. I'm having you write down how much you actually spend. What is your real cost of living? Write down that number. And then if you're in your 50s or 60s, you can have a pretty good idea of what your Social Security benefits are going to be. Once a year on your birthday, you're going to get a statement in from the Social Security Department, and it's going to tell you, you know, if you keep working till such and such a date, this is what you can expect to make. Well, write that number down, and then write down how much you have in savings, and start looking at those numbers. If it costs you $100,000 to live right now, and you're 60 years old, and your Social Security payment in, say, 5 or 7 years from now is only going to be providing you with $25,000, then you have a $75,000 deficit. And again, this gets back to the reality of it. You have one or two choices. You either need to supplement your Social Security to come up with that extra $75,000, and that's whether you continue working or you get a part-time job or whether you draw down your savings or whether you're able to invest your savings where they can provide enough of a yield to make up for that $75,000 deficit. You can either do that or you can reduce your lifestyle. Those are the only two choices. And if you can't come up with that $75,000 deficit, then reality is just going to make that decision for you. You see, when you quit paying your cable bill because you can't afford it anymore, or whenever your credit card bills get so large that they won't give you any more credit, then they just cut you off. They cut your cable. They take away your credit cards. If you quit paying your mortgage, they'll eventually kick you out of your house. And so that's why I say it's the reality of the situation. You don't have to make a decision at that point. The market will make the decision for you. And if you only have a $25,000 income on Social Security and you can't make it up another way and you don't have friends or family that are going to support you, then you're going to have to start relying on government assistance. That's the bottom line. Now, again, look at those numbers. Hopefully, you have somewhat of a nest egg. Now, how long is that nest egg going to last? Again, I can't give you specific recommendations in this podcast, but take out your calculator and your pencil. Start running some numbers. So just how much will that nest egg spin off for you in income? Well, it's hard to say. Nobody knows what's going to happen with future stock market yields or bond yields or inflation rates, so we really can't determine any of that. We can make assumptions, but we're dealing with uncertainties. But over time, historically, we can say that it's pretty safe to assume a 4% real return. And when I talk about real return, I'm talking about that's after inflation. So if inflation's running at 2%, a 4% real return would mean that you're getting a 6% nominal return on your money. So now you're saying, wow, 4%, that doesn't sound like very much. You know, the historical return on the stock market is maybe 8 or 10%. Well, remember, that's nominal return. That's not a real return. So that's why I say stick to the 4% number. Yes, maybe you'll be fortunate. Maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe like the last 6 years or so, the stock market will be going up. But remember, it varies drastically. The market was barely up at all in 2011, but it had a great year in 2013. So it's very random. It's very inconsistent. So stick with that 4%, 4% real return. Now, obviously, if all you have is $100,000 saved up and you're only going to get $4,000 from that and your Social Security is only going to pay $25,000 and you don't have a pension and you don't have anything else saved up and you've been living a $100,000 lifestyle, this is where I say the reality is going to set in because your income is going to be capped and it's going to be limited and you're not going to make any more than $29,000 in my example. And again, there's not going to be any rabbit that you can pull out of a hat. You're just going to have to learn to make ends meet. You're going to have to downsize. You're going to have to move someplace where it's cheaper. You're going to have to move in with friends or family. Or you're going to have to take in boarders and rent out rooms in your house. You're going to have to cut your expenses because eventually they're going to cut off your credit cards. You're going to have to learn to live off of $29,000. Now, hopefully you're going to have more than $100,000 saved up. So let's think about this. Let's get back to that middle class lifestyle that I talked about. If you want to be at the lower end of that middle class lifestyle, you need to have approximately, and again, this is a rule of thumb, about $50,000 of real income. $50,000 of real disposable income. Now, that's not going to go very far if you're living in Manhattan or some expensive neighborhood in Beverly Hills, but to live in middle America, to live at the lower end of the middle class lifestyle, you're going to have somewhere around 50 grand. So what does that mean? For our purposes, let's assume that your Social Security benefits are going to be $25,000. And again, you're going to know that because you're going to get that letter on your birthday that's going to tell you what your payout's going to be. But for our purposes, let's just assume it's $25,000. That's on the high end for most people. As I mentioned, right now, the average payment's around $15,000. But let's assume that today in $2015, we want to think in real terms because we're going to factor inflation in down the road here in the example. But let's say you have $25,000 in Social Security benefits. Well, obviously, you're going to need another $25,000 to get to $50,000 to have that middle-class lifestyle. And maybe I should call it a middle-class subsistence. That's probably a better way to look at it. Well, how much money are you going to have to come up with $25,000 in investment income, whether that's direct growth income from stock appreciation or whether it's from dividends or bond yields? Well, if you meet that 4% real rate of return that I talked about, you're going to have at least $625,000 to generate a 4% real return of $25,000. So that's why I said the math isn't hard on this. Take out your calculator or your spreadsheet, your pencil and paper, start writing these numbers down. What's your cost of living now? What's the bare minimum that you need to exist to stay in the lifestyle that you're in? How much money do you have? Let's assume that it generates at least a 4% real rate of return. And I keep harping on this real rate of return. The reason I do this is that that will take care of inflation. Because right now, today, if you can assume that you're going to make $25,000 in Social Security, well, that will increase with inflation. There are cost of living adjustments built into that. Now, they haven't been very high in recent years because inflation's been low. But if you do go through periods of inflation, you will receive cost of living increases to your Social Security. So that's why it's safe for now to think about, well, that's $25,000. And then with your investments, we're talking about a real rate of return. So again, to get that 4% real rate of return, you may have to be getting 8% or 6% or 7% nominal return in the marketplace to make up for inflation. But for our purposes, if you just keep that $50,000 in mind and think in terms of real rate of return of 4% on your money, that's where we come up with $625,000. And so you just need to ask yourself, how far away are you from that $625,000? Well, if you're a long way off, then again, you've got one of two choices. You need to work longer, or even after you retire, you need to get a part-time job to supplement it, or you need to drastically reduce your cost of living. Now, I know this isn't a fun discussion, and I hope that most of you are not in a situation where you're currently in your late 60s and you're realizing that you just don't have enough money. Because again, frankly, I can't help you. I'm a money manager. I can only manage money if there's something to manage. I hope those of you that are in this listening audience are better prepared. But you know a lot of people aren't. In fact, probably most Americans aren't prepared. So the real focus of this podcast is really to those of you that are younger, those of you that have enough time to make a difference. And don't be discouraged. If you're in your 50s now, you still have time to make a difference. But again, you're going to be working until you're 70. If you're 50 now, and you work until you're 70, well, you've got 20 years to prepare. And a lot of good things can happen in 20 years, but you have to put your mind to it today. And then the good news is for those of you that are younger, if you're only 20 or 30, well, don't put it off. Start to plan today. Become a disciplined saver. Take charge of your life. Learn how to earn and then save. And then finally, after you've achieved those two, learn how to invest or pay somebody to do it for you. But I promise you, if you do that and you start early enough, you can have a substantial nest egg, and you can be one of those older couples that you see that are happy and they're smiling and they're enjoying their old age and they're spending their time doing whatever they like, whatever that is. spending time with your grandchildren, spending time golfing, spending time boating. It doesn't matter. It's their choice. And that's where I want you to be. I want you to be doing what's your choice. That's why I say that this podcast is more about attaining personal freedom than it is about building wealth. But it's up to you. You're on that journey, and the destination is your choice, and you can start today. Whether you're 20 or whether you're 50, that next step that you take can put you in the right direction, and you'll be successful when you start taking that first step. But you have to take it. You have to have the discipline, and you have to make the choice. These are hard choices, but you can do it. Well, that'll wrap up today's episode. As always, if you have questions or concerns or you'd like to get in touch with me, you can do that through the website, wealthsteading.com. Until the next episode, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.